Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Team Haven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things as we kick off your week, kick off your month, kick off your lunch hour here on Talk Sports, March 1st. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden. Love to see it. Cameron?
I'm doing pretty great. I love March. Draven tried to bring me down a little bit with his doesn't want to hang out with me ever takes, but it's all good. I'm not going to let that bring me down. I love March too much. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm just going to keep rolling.
Okay.
I'm doing great.
Love to see it, man. Positivity.
Oh, yeah.
Speak it into existence.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to respect myself.
Yeah. There we go. Love to see it. What about you, Draven? You good?
I'm doing well. Cam, can we
well.
Quit
Nothing
this?
Nothing worse than doing well, guy.
What does that mean?
Say you're good.
You know, it's the proper
no,
way to
I know,
say it.
I know
doing
it is.
Doing well.
I know it is.
Makes you yeah. better than us. Yeah. He's got to use proper yeah. grammar.
Doing well.
What's wrong with doing well? You have a problem with doing well?
I suspect the people that say doing well are just trying to show off.
It's the proper way to say it. Just using correct grammar. What's wrong with that?
It's fine. Go ahead.
Just to allude to Cam's little thing, and I want people out there to tell me, like, when you hang out with a person for the first time, let's say you're going out for somebody for the first time, you become acquaintance with them, you become friends even, you're building that relationship, and then you want to take that work relationship outside of the workplace, right?
Okay.
Don't you think that first time has somewhat pretty decent high expectations that you want to live up to? You want to continue
like first
to say.
Date?
Well, no, this is not a first date, but this is a start of a friendship. I think it is important.
What are you guys going to do, take a
wow,
trip?
You don't think weekend. I can wine and dine you? Is that what it is?
A little weekend getaway for the boys? Like, what's happening here?
No, it's not a weekend getaway.
No, I don't think it has to be perfect when you're hanging out with somebody for the first time.
I didn't say perfect.
There's no high expectations.
I think there is a little bit of expectations.
Just don't. I mean, like, the only expectation is, like, don't be a jerk. Like, I made friends. I only had one office job, but I made friends with people up there. Not the first time, but the last time I hung out with them, a guy went back to my apartment, threw up all in my bathroom, and didn't clean it up. Left a towel over it.
Oh, that's even worse.
And told me after he left.
Even worse. Throwing a towel.
That was the last time I hung out with any of them. Oh, like, that was the minimum expectation, though. Don't be a jerk. Just, if you are a jerk, let me know. If you had thrown up in my bathroom and cleaned it up, would have been fine. And I'm sorry for talking about puke during the 12 o'clock lunch hour. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. I'm just saying there's no expectations other than don't be a jerk. If you do throw up, clean it up.
And obviously, I'm eager to do this. I ask him to hang out borderline every day, and he...
It is a little weird how much Cam wants to hang out with you.
It's putting more pressure on me.
I'm just trying to build a workplace relationship.
Longer you wait, the worse it's going to get.
I know.
If you just would have hung out the very first time, there would have been no expectations. It would have been fine.
Yeah. Maybe I don't have any friends, and I just want a friend.
Now you've been on a, like, got to make it special, got to wait 120 days before we hang out type of thing, and it's just going to gonna put a lot of pressure. I don't know if you can perform.
I'll handle it. Don't worry.
I don't know if you can perform.
Good under pressure.
I hate the tension between you two, though.
Yeah.
But maybe the show needs the tension. Maybe if you guys lose that hangout tension, maybe the show goes down. Maybe it won't be as special.
Dies out, huh?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the spark that keeps us going, huh?
Yeah, just need the tension. I do like March, too. I am happy March is here.
Yeah, March is sweet.
I am happy March is here.
It's a good week. It's a good month. It's a year.
Hope you guys all had a good weekend. What's the biggest story right now? Is it us getting our ass kicked by Auburn again? Is it missing out on another quarterback prospect or fallback?
Our fallback
quarterback's like, nah, I'm going to go play with Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, boy. We're losing stuff to Drinkwitz.
I want to go to Como. Trust me, if you've ever been to Como, no one wants to go to Como. No one wants to go there.
Yeah.
Golden Globes last night.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jason Sudeikis, man. I've been so sad seeing him.
What's this poor? Didn't he win an award?
He won an award, and everyone's like, oh, look at him. He's just chilling. He's in his sweats, and he looks high. And I was like, yeah, it's a man crying for help. That's a man that's down bad.
Wow, people still making fun of people.
Yeah. They weren't necessarily making fun of him. They were acting like he was cool. Cool guy. Because he was just like in sweatpants, like in like.
Yeah.
Looked like he'd been smoking weed. His eyes were red. And everyone's like, oh, look how laid back he is. And then some were compared to the women who were all dressed up, like trying to wear dresses and still look pretty.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between men and women. Ha ha, look at Sudeikis. Dude's rock. And I was like, it's a man crying for help, man. Then I found out. I mean, I knew his woman had left him for Harry Styles.
Right.
Oof.
That's got to be an ego hit anyways, because he's 45. He's probably feeling like, hey, I'm getting close to being out of my prime.
Mm-hmm.
And then she leaves him. For a man, it's like 27, 20-year difference.
Oof.
It's tough. You know, usually society will do it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Guys will leave the women for younger women, but Olivia switched it up. So then I learned that they were having to bubble up together in the U.K.
Sudeikis really?
Stuck with his wife the last, couple weeks, his wife and kids, or his ex-wife.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, that must
really.
So he was there last night, just stuck in the house with her. He's probably, like I said... Everyone's laughed. I'm just like, that's a man crying for help.
Yeah, he's down bad.
He is down bad.
I would have been in sweatpants too.
Yeah. And I would have been hiding in a closet somewhere.
Man.
Come on. Sweatpants, that's not that big a deal. That doesn't guarantee a down bad.
No,
that's not a guarantee down bad.
He's medicating. He's in there smoking. He's just trying. Who knows what else he's doing? He's stuck. He's sad. Congrats to him, though. You guys ever watch Ted Lasso?
No, the soccer coach.
It's probably the best sports content that's came out, like, entertainment-wise in a long, long time.
I have heard it's good.
Like, movies, like, included.
I watched it. It was good.
Like, the documentaries and stuff, like, you could maybe argue documentaries with this, but, like, from an entertainment standpoint, yeah, it was good. You don't go into it thinking it's good. You're like, oh, no, this is actually really good.
Yeah, I don't even like soccer. I thought it was good.
Soccer's not really important.
Yeah.
You went into it much like Ted Lasso did. He's a football coach who gets hired to be a soccer manager.
Mm. Right.
No spoilers, I guess, since it's still fairly new. We won't talk about it, but...
It came out a while ago, didn't it?
Within a year.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
And, there's just always a boost after the award show. I'm sure there'll be a surge of people want to go watch it now that people are talking about how good it is.
I watched it for free. It was a free trial for Apple TV.
Thrifty.
Yeah. I had to binge it, you know.
Talk about those
deals. They're short. It's only like, what, 8 episodes, like 20-minute episodes? Like, it's easy to watch.
It's probably a normal TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched it like in a weekend. It was just easy to get through. Tennessee sucks.
Oh, they suck so much.
Basketball or football?
All of the above.
Yes. Yes. For a second, I was like, oh, no, does baseball suck too?
Well.
They split this weekend.
Well, I know they lost that game because, what, the batter overran.
Oh, no.
He overran his teammates on the base path.
I just know they lost both games on Saturday.
Right, but one of them I saw, like, they had, like, a situation, like a Little League situation where they had two guys on base. They're down two. They thought they hit a walk-off home run, and they're like, well, the guy who hit the batter passed his teammates on the base path, so he's out. And just long story short, we now have guys on second and third, and then they ended up losing that game.
Oh, my gosh.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow, that is some T-ball.
So for a second, I was like, oh, do we just stink at baseball too? But they rallied. They had, they split the series. That's okay. It's all right. Lady Vols, a 3 seed.
Yep.
In the SC tournament.
Shout out to them.
Let's go.
They beat down Auburn. Nice to see somebody can beat Auburn. The boys, though, man, they're broken. But I do got some good news for you on the other side of that.
Ooh.
We'll dive into the bad news of Tennessee sucking, but there is a silver lining. There is a silver lining. Now that we have turned to March, I'll tell you what it is after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Made with their unique brew pure process to deliver only the finest flavors and a pure refreshment like no other. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure, only 100 calories. Please drink responsibly. There are laws when you drink the claws. We appreciate White Claw and Cherokee Distributing for their support. All right. The bad news first. Tennessee, what was that? Lost number 5 in a row? 6 in a row to
six.
Bruce?
I think we had 5 going
six
in.
6 in a row?
Yeah.
6 in a row.
I think we might have beat him the first. We beat him the first time for sure, and maybe the second time, but we've lost 6 in a row, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have 4 wins against him.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I don't, Barnes might not have 4. Tindall beat him the one time.
Yeah. But, yeah, we have lost 6 straight.
Well, that's the bad news. Tennessee, I assume, is the new AP poll came out yet? Doesn't usually drop around noon.
Yeah, but it takes a while to get it put out.
Either way, I would assume we drop out of the top 25.
Yeah, I would think so.
Bracketology update.
Palm had us as a 7 this morning.
Oh, gosh.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh boy, we're losing
from a
4 round
to a 7.
Went from a 3, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Just a another game where it looks like it's just the freshman versus everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's wrong with the leadership in the upperclassmen, but yep.
Pons scores his 10 points a game. Fulkerson looks lost again. The bench gives you, 2 Vescovi 3s. That's it. Really, really, really bad game from Josiah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how injured Josiah is with his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
But a really bad game from him. 0 points. 0 for from the field. 0 for 5 from the field. 0 for 4 from 3. The bench gave you 6 points. And you lose to a Auburn team that was without their best player. And it looked a lot like the Vanderbilt game did.
Yep.
Where you would have lost to Vanderbilt had one of their 3 players probably played.
Yep.
Especially if one of those two, you know, if you'd got, either Pippen or Disu on the court, you probably would have lost that game against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I would think so for sure. And like you said, it looked exactly like that game, except Auburn's a little better than Vanderbilt, so they actually did go ahead and beat you.
Just another game where Tennessee takes bad shots, plays bad offense. Mm-hmm. Although I will say for a lot of the second half, it did seem like Tennessee played a better offense. It did seem like they were getting quicker into their decisions, and they were shooting threes. They shot 28 threes in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They actually shot more threes than Auburn, which is kind of funny, but shot a better clip too. Shot 39%. The problem was they still win another game where they just couldn't hit any mid-range jumpers. And I thought in the second half their problem was they were scoring, they just couldn't stop Auburn. Auburn was getting whatever they wanted, which was really, really disheartening because, A, Auburn's not their best player. B, Tennessee's supposed to be a defensive team. They still grade well defensively, but for 6 minutes straight, they could not get a stop on Auburn when they needed one.
Nope, not at all. And that's you think. Like, we've been talking about the offense all year, of course, but you would think the defense is the thing that you can kind of almost fall back on if the offense is struggling, but wasn't the case Saturday.
Yeah, no, the offense has always struggled this year. Like, the offense has played maybe 4 good games.
Mm-hmm.
If you add up all the halves they've played good in, you might get 4 good games, 8 complete halves. But the defense, even at the beginning of the year when you're struggling out wins against, Colorado and Cincinnati and scoring 50-something points, you're like, the defense is going to travel. Defense will keep you in every game, blah,
exactly.
Blah, blah. The defense did not keep you in this game. They hurt you.
Yep.
They caused you to lose it. Because, like I said, I actually thought in the second half Tennessee offensively played pretty well.
Yeah.
As evidenced by their 42 points. That's a pretty good half. Sure, they're ate a little bit by garbage time in the last minute where they're just, trying to go really fast and score. But still, I thought they looked a little bit crisper on offense.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense could not get a stop. And Bruce beats Barnes again. Tennessee, are they done when it comes for the double bye? Are they pretty much locked into playing on Thursday now, or is there still a chance that they could I guess they're, a half game behind LSU right now?
Yeah.
They're a full game behind Florida, a half game behind LSU. Does 10-7 beat 9-6 when it comes to head-to-head?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because if they beat Florida on Saturday, you know, Florida will be 9-6, Tennessee will be 10-7. I think
that Florida plays this week, though.
Florida plays this week, too?
Okay. Yeah.
So if Florida wins this week, they'll be locked in a top four spot if they win their midweek game?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Let's see here. But Tennessee is unranked. They are unranked. Oh, they only received
well deserved.
They received 19 votes, so they were not even. Like, let's see here. BYU received over 100. USC, Clemson, Florida, and then Tennessee.
So behind Florida, 30th.
Oh, oof.
Basically,
yeah. Florida received 24 votes. Tennessee received 19.
Yep. Florida does play Missouri on, I guess, Wednesday.
Missouri unranked now as well.
Yeah, Missouri is falling apart. They're 500 in the SEC.
They're a couple spots behind us as far as votes go, but yep.
So Florida plays Missouri at Florida. If they win, that'll lock them into a top four seed. What does LSU have? LSU playing a midweek game this week too, I guess, because they're game short.
They play Vanderbilt at home.
All right, so they should win that game. Mm-hmm. And then
I don't know. Vanderbilt did win this weekend.
A little upset-minded.
Yeah.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
Oh, bad loss.
Good loss for us, though. Yeah. We need Ole Miss to lose.
Bad loss for them. So, I mean, like, Tennessee in shambles, down to a 7 seed. That's not good. That's right for a round one upset.
I already thought we were, but that's a real bad spot to be in, yeah. Like,
what do you make of Rick Barnes coming out and saying, hey, we don't have a post player?
Well,
hey, seems like we don't attack the basket enough.
Would have been nice to not bring in Anasicki. Use that scholarship for something. Mm-hmm. Use Drew Pember's scholarship for something. Trying to find a big man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe play Kumwa more than Fulkerson at this point. Like, I mean, I know you've been a big Kumwa hater, Hayden, but I think you'd have to agree. Like, he seems better than Fulkerson at this point, right?
He seems more aggressive,
too. That's what I mean. I'm not even saying he's good, but I'm saying, like, he just seems like Fulkerson.
He's in the mix more.
Fulkerson's broken.
Yeah,
I don't know what's happened. Yeah. I don't know if it's, you know, we talked about the Alabama players taunting him, and he really hasn't been the same since then.
Mm-mm. He's in his own head now. He's gone.
But there was a couple moments in that game on Saturday where he got blocked at the rim, and you just saw him hang his head. Like, man,
what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, he literally just got completely pinned on that one. Like,
and like he,
probably the first 3 minutes of the game, and I was like, oh, no, here we go.
He came back and got one on the other end.
Yeah.
He came back and got a block of his own, but, like, offensively, like, you just saw, like, him. He had gotten blocked twice in, like, the last, like, handful of possessions. You just saw him hang his head like, man, I don't have any lift. I'm not athletic enough. Like, these guys have figured me out, I guess. I don't know what it is, but he's broken. You can't rely on him. And I think he should be out of the starting lineup, and I would play come one more.
That's the only option you got. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, I understand, but, like, Tennessee is going to have to go big sometimes. Let Kumwa be your JaVale McGee and just put him out there. And if even if he only plays 5 or 6 minutes, that's fine, but, like, start the game with him and, like, play him in spurts, because to me, watching him, he seems, like you said, more aggressive. He seems more active. And, you know, at this point, him catching easy passes and dunking is more than Fulkerson's giving you, because when Fulkerson catches those easy passes, you know what he's doing? Going up and getting pinned off the backboard.
Yep.
At least I know Kumwa can explode off the floor and dunk. Right?
Yep.
Like, whereas Fulkerson ain't even giving you that. Like, there's a couple of those times where those are just dump-off passes that are supposed to be easily finished, and he's getting pinned. You just had to have a guy in catch and dunk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe that just because he got heckled. He's, like, completely just from himself.
It's that in his play, though. It's like, it's that, and he's had, you know, been getting bullied in the games, too, and I think it's in his head.
Barnes has been hard on him for years. I mean, like, and there's a certain point where I do think you can snap and just, like, lose your confidence. I do think losing your confidence is a real thing, and maybe it's not just Alabama yelling at him. No, maybe that's not it. Although they did embarrass him that game. Like, they ran him off the court. Like, he couldn't guard him, he couldn't score, he couldn't do anything. And then the report came out that Kim English had, you know, kind of challenged his manhood in the locker room after that. Like, hey, we need you to be better. And, like, Barnes has ridden him for months. Like, you know, hey, we're going to take his mans away. And I do think at a certain point, like, if you're struggling with your own confidence and you got people yelling at you, you can break a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he does seem either he's, like, a step slow because he's overthinking everything and, like, trying to be perfect, or he's just, like, you know, lost his athleticism. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, like, there's also a part of me that thinks, and this might sound hateful, there's a part of me that thinks, like, he wasn't as good as we thought he was last year, and, like, he had a couple good games against, like, Kentucky. And
they all – it was the last four games of the season, and it sent you out on a good note on last year.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. Like, if you actually look at, like, he averaged, you know, what, 13 points a game last year?
Mm-hmm.
Was that like that's what he averaged, right? 13?
Somewhere around there. Right
13.7, so I guess maybe, you know, closer to 14. But like if you look at the actual like game log, yeah, he had a couple 27-point outbursts. You know, against Kentucky, there was another game like against South Carolina. We tried to, you know, will you to victory. He scored 25. You lost 20, you know, you lost by 2 points.
It's in just I missed the buzzer beater.
Right. Scored 22 against Florida. Scored 19 in a blowout loss against Auburn. So, like, he got hot down the stretch, but, like, maybe that was just a process of, like, being the only option and, like, you know, just somebody's got to get points, you know?
Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be this bad, though. I mean, like, recent memory, is this the biggest drop-off we've seen from, like, a UT basketball player with, like, at least decent expectations? Like, when's the last time it's been this bad?
I mean, there's a couple names that come to my mind. Bowden's a good one.
Yeah.
Bowden's a good one. Like Lawante last year with the shoulder injury.
At least he had an excuse,
sure.
Though.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, the other ones that come to mind is, like, I remember just bad stretches where, like, Jordan Howell couldn't hit a jump shot. Obviously, with Chris Lofton dealing with cancer. Like, you didn't know that at the time. But, like,
right.
That his senior year, people were like, what is wrong with Lofton? Like, he's not the same guy. Mm-hmm. But then after the season, you find out, like, you know, he's dealing with testicular cancer, and you feel bad for questioning him as he's trying to, like, mm-hmm. fight through it in his college career. But, like, you know, Bowden's probably the right answer. You know, you expected him to kind of rise up to be the guy on a good team, and he couldn't do it. And that's kind of what happened here with Fulkerson is, like, you expected him to take a step and be the guy on a good team, and he just hasn't done it. It's not just his fault. Like, this team's broken beyond Fulkerson, although he can help out a lot. But I promised some good news. And I woke up today. I did my 1,000 push-ups.
Nice.
My 500 crunches.
I was wondering why you're looking a little, yeah. little toned out this morning.
Got
okay.
my 2.5 mile run in.
Oh my god!
Jumped rope for 20 minutes, and then I got on the internet and I saw that we have some good news delivered to us, guys. Ooh! It came in a way via tweet from the Big Ticket, or the Little Ticket, or just the Ticket, whatever he calls himself. March, you either with us or against us. Pick a side. Ooh. The team is turning on the fans. This is what we need. We have to will this team to win in spite of us.
Okay.
You guys suck.
Okay.
Sign a petition. Fire them up. It took us doing that for Konzo and the boys. Let's do it. We'll take an underachieving team with NBA players, and let's push them to greatness because the coaching staff ain't going to do it. We have to do it as fans. We're
taking them upon ourselves. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. I'm in.
The lines have been drawn. Ticket Gaines, Hollywood. He lets you know. How do you have two nicknames, by the way? How are you Ticket and Hollywood?
I don't know.
Guess you got
how are you Hollywood when you play the way he plays? I like Gaines. I wouldn't mind if Gaines got more minutes. But like, yeah, he doesn't necessarily scream Hollywood.
I don't really want to buy a ticket to that show.
That's what I say. Or ticket.
He should be like Steel City. Oh, he's not
yeah.
strong. But like, he's so a city that
Boardman.
I mean, just a city that feels like, hey, we're gonna grind, do things the blue collar hard way. I was just thinking Pittsburgh because of Steel. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, he's not,
Detroit.
Just Detroit.
Yeah, I was gonna say Detroit. Too.
He's,
yeah.
he's Motown. He's Motown Gaines. Like, that's what he should go by. We're going to do it the hard way. You can't be the Ticket and Hollywood. Again, especially when you can't hit a 15-foot jumper.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Gaines, but I'm against the team right now, buddy. But I like it. It gives me a little hope that we, the fans, bashing this team, will push them to greatness. Well, we had to do it with Jordan McRae, with Jarnell, with Josh Richardson and Konzo. We had to do it, and we have to do it again, I guess.
Let's keep piling on, then. I'm here for it.
We have to do it again.
That's what's going to motivate him is us. Finally, is that what's going to get this competitive fire going?
It's the last-ditch effort, man. It's the last-ditch effort. That's what the coaches go to whenever they have nothing else. Like, that's what Pruitt tried to do at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of his tenure. It's what Butch Jones tried to do. It's what Konzo tried to do when he was at the end of his ropes. It's what Rick Barnes is doing right now because he has no other buttons to push. Yeah. He has to turn the outside noise.
Nobody believes in you.
Exactly.
Nobody.
This fan base doesn't like you. Don't win for me. Don't win for them. Win for yourselves.
Yeah. I'm going to keep slandering from the roof of the brick house I built with all those mid-range jumpers they've missed. Yeah. So, yeah, let's do this. I'm in. Anti-team right now. Yeah, yeah. Y'all be better.
A little optimism. They're Absolutely. Turning against us.
Okay.
If they're going to make one of those don't pick us videos again, that turned out well.
You know, the basketball program usually does have some pretty good content, but, like, yeah, that one felt cringy even while they were doing it. That was the year they lost to Loyola, right?
Yeah.
Dominant powerhouse Loyola.
Yeah. But have no fear. Motown Gaines has put the line in the sand, boys. Either you're with us or against us.
Okay.
Against. Just want to put my hands up. I'm against.
Glad Gaines is the voice of the team.
The alpha we needed. Yeah.
The leader right here.
The alpha we needed. Well, the quotes coming out after the game weren't very promising. It's like Jaden Springer begging the team, like, hey, some guys don't try hard all the time.
Oh, boy.
Like, that's not what I want my hear my freshmen say, you know, basically with, like, two games left in the season.
Yeah, not at all.
Hey, we got some guys that don't try hard.
That's just shocking. That's just shocking. Like, really, not trying hard? What is this?
It's,
with this team?
It's tough. This team's broken, man.
Mm-hmm.
9-7 SEC play. Like, there were times where we thought we might not lose an SEC game. They were like, you might lose one or two. It's going to be tough to win in the SEC. We lost seven of them.
And we did think the ones we were going to lose would be, like, at Kentucky.
Yeah, sure.
At Missouri.
Sure.
We won both those games.
Yeah, the two toughest games you won. Like the one, you know, on paper before the year that we looked at, right. Like, I mean, even when we knew Kentucky was going to struggle, like, yeah, it's going to be tough to win at Kentucky, and at Missouri's going to be tough. You won both of those, you still find a way to lose the, you know, seven other ones.
Remember 4-4 on the road.
Yeah, you're a bad road team.
Just terrible.
You're a bad road team, and somehow you've still been favored in every game.
8.5 in that Auburn game was insane.
I told you guys on Thursday, whatever it opens up at, just take Auburn.
I did.
And then you're like, Cooper might be out. I was like, okay, well, wait and see the live bet. If you'd have waited and saw the live bet like I suggested, you would have seen pretty early, like, Tennessee ain't got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a dogfight. Go ahead and take Auburn.
Favorite against Florida, you think, at home?
Probably.
A projection site I follow says they think it'll be Tennessee -3 or so at home
really?
Against Florida. Tennessee's still been pretty good at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, record-wise, I think it was 15-3.
Tennessee's been pretty good off a loss, too.
Is it 15-3? That can be right there.
I think it was 17-3. I saw they put up the stat.
Well, it can't be 17-3 at home if we got if you said we're 4-4 on the road, so I guess it would have been
13-3. Was it 14-3?
I don't know. Our home record's better than our
road record. Yeah, only three losses is the key point there.
Well, one more week of basketball season, then we'll get to the SEC tournament. Probably play, one game there? Two games there, max?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Then quick little one-game session, the tournament, and
quick little trip
we'll be back
up,
home.
Quick little trip up to Indianapolis.
Yep.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio.
Anything else on Tennessee basketball you boys want to discuss? Right now, at least. We can circle back around to it later in the show, but you got any other thoughts?
They just disgust me.
Okay, disgusted. Draven?
Yeah, disappointing, John. It's been already a lot of disappointment around these parts for me, too, with the Cowboys as well. So I'm just going to kind of clock out on this one a little
bit.
I'm kind of done.
Now that March is here, you're like, eh.
I mean, I'm going to get excited about the tournament, but I'm going to look at Tennessee as more of just like another team. And I'm going to pick them as I would just any other team in the bubble.
I respect
that. I'm going to look at it.
I say that to myself every year.
I'm
going to
just enjoy the tournament. I'm going to enjoy the basketball I get to watch since we didn't have an NCAA tournament last year. And I'm going to ignore Tennessee. I'm going to pick us to lose first round so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Because when Tennessee lost to Loyola, it was almost, there was all those crazy upsets, too, that was going on. It was almost like it ruined it because it was like, well, dang, Tennessee was part of it. Like, we didn't want that. We had all those great upsets. Mm-hmm. It was cool to watch, except Tennessee getting beat. So
they're not taking away my happiness
out
this year.
Exactly.
Okay. I see you guys out.
This is what Gaines wanted, man. He wanted us to pick, and we picked.
I picked. Yeah.
Everyone's picking. Hayden, what about you?
Choosing joy.
I'm just concerned about – I mean, I'm already riding the end of this year off, in my opinion. Like,
well, if this year's over, then what happens – like, is there a conversation about what happens with Rick Barnes? Because – this was supposed to be the year where you
I'm for that. I am for that.
We need so you just want Rick Barnes gone.
I don't want him gone, but I think we just need to start, I mean, considering like what he's actually done here besides recruit. And get one special team together.
Yeah.
And then after that, just kind of like, I mean, he had that one special team together, and then you just sit on your ass.
Well,
and don't do anything else to make next year's team better.
I don't think there's any reason to keep going over the top bashing Barnes. I mean, I think people have made their minds up one way or the other. Some people are going to say, and these people are probably just people that care more about football, that just like enjoy having a basketball team that they can watch in the tournament. there'll be some people like, hey, as long as Tennessee's a tournament team, that's good enough. Barnes is a good man. There's no cheating involved. Yeah, you lost to Bruce Pearl, but he's a cheater.
Yeah.
And those people are fine. I'm not going to argue with them. If that's the way they want to live their life, that's fine. So, like, there'll be a portion of the Tennessee fan base that isn't even upset with this year because they're going to make the tournament.
Yeah. Say anything can happen in March.
Yeah, I mean, like, and look, that's still accurate. Like, Tennessee can still make a run, like.
I mean, yeah, it's not like we don't have talent or anything.
I believe it was Will Warren who told me, like, you know, he was talking about this team and how they could still maybe get a good draw in the tournament. But I want to say that South Carolina team that made the Final Four lost 7 of their last 10 games heading into the tournament.
Probably there were 7.
That's right. Yeah.
And then got hot and went to the, you know, the school's Final Four. Now, you know, they've gotten a lot of trouble because of it. Didn't the coach just get a 10-year show call because of it and all that? But
yeah.
Either way, like.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
South Carolina fans, I'd say, yeah. Yeah. I mean, those memories. Beating Duke. Bullying Duke.
Yeah.
Being the bad guys in the black jerseys, bullying Duke. That would have been a lot of fun. But this team can still make noise, but right now, you know, I don't think anyone's predicting this team is going to make noise in the tournament.
Got no faith.
Especially if you're going to hang around as a 6 seed or worse. It's going to be tough to convince yourself that you're going to win more than 2 games.
The freshmen are going to have to really be game time. They're going to be really good in the tournament, I think, for us to.
Well, I mean, when's the last time a freshman has carried a team deep in the tournament? Is that
deep in the tournament?
Yeah, does that mean like? Does that happen often? Because when I think of like just the best freshmen, now I might be missing some, and like there's going to be some where you have like a team full of them.
Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah, but that team, like Anthony Davis, yeah, and Anthony Davis had, you know, the number 2 pick in the draft as well next to him, like him and him and Kate Gilchrist went 1 and 2.
Yep.
I don't think anyone thinks Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer of that. You know what I mean? So like you had a generational player in Anthony Davis. Am I missing anyone else? Like, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns took him deep, but he had another, you know, just a team full of NBA guys.
Devin Booker coming off the bench, didn't they?
Yeah, Booker came off the bench. Like, has there been, you know, Jahlil Okafor and that team, they had, you know, 3 or 4 guys there that were pro players. When's the last time a freshman's carried a team? Because I think back to, like.
I mean, Zion flamed out, like, second round. Or
they got beat the Sweet 16.
The first name pops in my head is Melo. Right? Was he a freshman one in the
Natty? Yeah, but I mean, that was 2003.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was forever ago. I'm sure there's somebody more recent.
Keem Warrick was pretty damn good, too, and so was McNamara. But, I mean, yeah, like 2003. I'm trying to think, like.
How deep are we talking, like, Elite Eight?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, a deep turnaround. Because, yeah, I'm sure there's some freshmen get to the Sweet 16. But, I mean, like, I think back to, like, you know, Andrew Wiggins got bounced in the Sweet 16, right? Or did they even make it to the Sweet 16? They might have got beat the second round. And B was on the bench, and Wiggins just sat out there and didn't do anything. And, like, that Kansas team was a 1 seed.
What year was that? That
would have been 2015? 14, 15?
Mm-hmm. Is that the year they got upset?
Yeah.
Early?
Well, they got upset. No, it wasn't the year they got beat by, like, that bald-headed guy, like, Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa beat them, like, in 2010 or whatever it was. But, like, it's 2014. They lost to, I want to say, like, NC State, maybe? That might be wrong, but I want to say that was the team. Am I missing anybody with, like,
Derrick Rose, maybe?
Okay, I mean, you're going back 12 years there. Yeah. But, yeah, Derrick Rose.
I mean, that's about the closest I can find.
And, again, so far you've given me Carmelo, who is right, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, if you want to include him, and Derrick Rose. So you have the number 1 pick, the number 1 pick, and, like, the number 3 pick.
Yeah, like the other one you could go with is, like, Mike Conley Jr. and Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Which was their two tandem there, but I mean, yeah, like there hasn't been any big.
That was the number 1 pick, and I think Conley was like the top. Was he number 4 that year? Maybe. I want to say the Grizzlies took him at number 4. Maybe I might be wrong on that, but he was a top 10 pick for sure.
But if you do like a quick Google search, like yeah, you don't really get anybody past like 08 or 12. Anthony Davis was like the most recent one I saw.
Like Kemba, whenever he led his team, he was an upperclassman. He was like a junior.
And even the last few years, I mean, I just think of a guy who just carried the team the whole year, like Lonzo Ball. They got bounced to Sweet 16.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, he's the number, 2 pick in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
Keon is going to get drafted top 10 because of his athleticism. Like, you know, during the broadcast, they brought it up. Like, this guy might be the most athletic guy in the country, at least in this draft class. And, like, I don't have any arguments with that. Like, that layup he hit was nasty whenever he, like, you know, went up and just kind of readjusted and finished the layup. That was about as athletic of a play as you could get. So, like, he'll get drafted top 10 just based off his athleticism and potential.
But he said he was coming back.
He said he's coming back unless Tennessee wins a natty.
kid, yeah.
We'll see, Keon. We'll see. If he wants to come back, that'd be great. I would love for him to come back, but mm-hmm. I think if I'm a top 10 pick, like I got to go, bro. But maybe not. Maybe he's not wired that way. I don't know. We'll see. But point being, like, you don't get the top 10 freshmen taking you to deep tournament runs.
I mean, yeah, and I don't have faith in Barnes leading anybody like that. I mean, if you couldn't get Kevin Durant to do it,
yeah,
I don't think you can get these guys to do it.
Well, I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like, he maxed out Sweet 16. I mean, Michael Beasley has one of the best freshman years of all time.
He
don't talk about him enough when they talk about just, like, the greatest college players of all time. Like, he had, like, 26 and, like, 15 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, he was
26
he was
and 13
nuts,
as a freshman at Kansas State. He couldn't carry a team. O.J. Mayo couldn't carry a team. Like, there's just a lot of freshmen that get there and can't do it. It's usually upperclassmen, unless you just have a super team of freshmen. So with all that being said, like, I don't think any of us have high hopes for Tennessee making a deep tournament run. So we could be looking at the end of year 6 of Rick Barnes. And to be consistent, I always throw out the first year. So I'd say 5 years of Rick Barnes. And your career, your biggest accomplishment will be what? A Sweet 16 run? And a split championship in the SEC?
Yep.
Regular season, yeah.
Yeah, regular season, yeah. You can't split a conference championship, mm-hmm. Aiden. They don't give you a tie. Although the biggest accomplishment might have just been beating that Kentucky team in the semifinals.
Yeah.
That might have been the actual apex. I mean, that's about as excited as I've been for Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
Outside of that brief little run Tennessee went on against Purdue, capped off by Admiral hitting that 30-footer.
Yeah.
They had me going buck wild there at the watch party, but you end up losing that game. Like, is Tennessee going to do anything the rest of the year to top any of those moments for you? Like, I mean, I don't think anyone's picking that, right? Like, Tennessee's not winning this SEC tournament championship.
Yeah.
And they have to make it to the Elite Eight.
They have to make it to the Elite Eight, and I don't think they're going to do that. So what I ask is, like, where do we go now if you're Rick Barnes and you're Tennessee? Because, first 2 years, throwaways. Year 3, year 4, pleasant surprises. Pleasant surprise year 3. How do you judge year 4? Disappointment, success, even? You're number one in the country for a couple weeks, but you didn't win a championship and you didn't go past the Sweet 16.
I'd say it was disappointing with how highly ranked you were.
I mean, according to expectations.
I was mad at the end of that year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you felt like you'd wasted a chance, but going to the Sweet 16 is going to be hard. Like, going to the Sweet 16 and the SEC Championship in the same year is a good accomplishment for Tennessee basketball.
And lost in overtime. It's not like they got blown out or nothing. It was a close game.
But the way they lost the SEC Championship was tough just because you beat the Kentucky team that was the best team in the conference probably as far
and then
as
you lost. And then you lost your former coach, got bullied.
Killed.
Yeah.
It was like 20-point game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You got killed.
Yeah.
2 years in a row, actually. I mean, Kentucky beat us the year before, too. I mean, that game wasn't particularly that close, was it?
No, that was close.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought William Gabriel hit
No, he did, but threes. I want to say that, I want to say that
I can't remember the score.
I want to say we were only did 3 or 4 points in a couple minutes left. We just couldn't get over a hump. I want to say. Now, again.
I don't really remember.
That was, 2018? But either way, I don't think that you think that Tennessee, we only lost that game by 5.
Okay.
And William Gabriel couldn't stop Cy Gilgeous-Alexander. My God, he had 29 points. Oof, he busted Jordan Bone's ass.
Jeez.
William Gabriel came off the bench and scored 12 points. He only had 2 threes. I felt like he had a million in that game.
Yeah.
But Cy Gilgeous just dropped 29 on you. Ugh, that's disgusting. Kevin Knox added 18. Admiral had 22. He tried. That's a sad game looking back on. Kentucky came to that game unranked.
They were unranked.
They were 10-8 in conference that year. They got hot.
Kevin Knox sucked. I thought
he sucked in the NBA too. He got hot that damn game against us though.
But he's supposed to be their number 2 guy.
Yeah,
Shaq Gilgeous Alexander.
Yeah, it was a tie game. We had a lead with 5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Jordan Bone hit a jumper to put us up 5. They hit a free throw, missed the second one. When you gave up, got the rebound and laid it in. Damn it.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Yeah, it was a 4-point game, like I said, with 2:45 left. A 1-point game with a minute 26 left. Man, I don't remember that. 68-67 after Bone hit a 3 to cut it to 1.
What happened?
Shai Gilgeous hit a jumper. Grant missed a jumper. Probably a mid-range jumper because we like shooting those.
Yep, of course. Absolutely.
And that was it. That was it. Ah, man, that's tough. Now I'm sad. But point being, like, we were bad for 2 years. Good year three. Good year four. You can argue about whether or not it was a success, a failure, or what. I maintain, like, I was disappointed, but the regular season was fun. You're number one in the country.
Best record ever, right?
31-5. I want to say that's correct. You you know, you broke this curse of number one. You didn't lose your first game after becoming number one.
Close.
You came close.
It was close. My goodness.
You came close. But then, like, you know, obviously it went downhill after that. And last year we were told to overlook the year. Like, hey, don't worry about it. It's rebuild year. You're going to reload. You're going to get Jane Springer and Keon Johnson. But what happens if you come through this year and you have another disappointing year, which you've had? I mean, at this point, the regular season has not been fun.
Nope.
That means the postseason has to be fun to, you know, fix the season. And if it's not and you've wasted this opportunity, the next thing you look around and three of your top four players are gone. If Springer, Keon, I'll go pro, and Pond's like, hey, I'm going pro. If not, I'll go to France and play professional basketball. Like, if you're missing three of your top four guys next year. I mean, I get Kenny Chandler's going to be a stud, but, like, who the hell is he going to pass to? You said our best plan right now, Hayden, is to try to get this Brandon Huntley Hatfield guy to reclassify?
That's what they're talking about, just because I think Barnes is like, we need a post player.
I mean, we have to have a post player.
I mean, it's obvious. But, like, you go out. The thing is, we have all these projects on the bench right now. They all suck. All of them. Would you agree with that?
None of them are good.
I'm
not going to say they suck because I'm too old to be telling them they suck.
They ain't going
to
win the, they ain't gonna win the national championship.
They're your age. You can tell them they suck.
Okay, well, they suck. They're garbage. We need to get rid of them.
That's Hayden Wall. I'm not saying that's Hayden saying.
We need to get rid of them. All of them. Even Conwell. I don't care about him. But
I want to see him continue to develop. He's gotten better. He's good. He's
good.
No, that's not what I meant to say. He has the body to be good. I've said that all year. Like, I see the potential in him just from his size. I don't want him to leave because we invested 2 years on him. So I want to see your three, maybe. Fine.
Okay, we'll compromise. He can stay.
Okay.
Euros, Gaines, Pember, Anisicki. All four of those guys out of here. Hey, am I missing anybody?
I mean, not that I know of.
Okay, we got to get these scholarships freed up. So now we got like 8 scholarships going in next year. Nice. We just load this thing up with grad transfers and freshmen. But we need a big guy. I mean,
grad transfer. We'll just bring back Anisicki. He'll trick us. We'll just bring him back.
Well, he already said that. You
DJ
know,
Burns, a grad transfer in from Winthrop.
Do you not remember that?
He always knew. He's get DJ Burns back.
That article came out probably.
He's talking about coming back next year.
Yeah, he said he was going to come back next year. Why would we tell him to come back next year? He'd only played like 5 games at that point.
Because I think it's tough to process kids in basketball.
I don't care.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't think you want to be that coach, though. I don't think Barnes wants to run those guys off. I mean, like, you could tell them, hey, look elsewhere, but, like, you kind of got to let them be the ones to do it. I think. I mean, just.
Go tell him to look elsewhere.
I understand. Like, I mean, you hope they would, but. Like, I mean, like, yeah, like.
I mean, Jalen Johnson left after this year.
What's he done this year? I know Wake Forest has been pretty bad, but, like, has he been any good?
It's a complete rebuild there, Wake Forest.
No, I'm not blaming Forbes for that. I'm just saying, like.
They lost Sar, and their best player.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Forbes for that. Like, I don't think that is a referendum on his.
They're terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I said, I didn't know if Jalen was any good.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
He's averaging 5 points a game, 17 minutes. Yeah.
Not even starting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His last two games, 7 minutes, 7 minutes, 0 points. Yeah, he still stinks. Okay. Never mind. He still stinks.
Got rid of him.
No, yeah, I mean, we did. And, like, he kind of got lucky because he was.
Despite him being the best NBA prospect on the roster.
We kind of got lucky because he was like. People did say that.
Why did they say that? Why was that?
Because his size. Like, I mean, if he could have figured out a jump shot, he might have been. But, like, he's a shooter who can't shoot.
Exactly. I was literally going to say that.
Yeah.
He would just spot up all the time and never make it.
Yeah, he's a shooter who can't shoot. But to his credit, he did realize, like, hey, I need to go down a level of basketball. And he was going to go to ETSU. But then Forbes left, so he's like, I just come to Wake Forest with me. So, like, he shouldn't be playing in the ACC either. Like, and that's – I'm not bashing the kid on the way out, but, like, there's some guys –
That's right.
Like you said, there's some guys on the program who need to take a step back. And, like,
they might – and they might be successful at the SoCon level. Yeah. I mean, they might.
Yeah.
But the larger point is –
because people did say the same about Fulkerson before last year.
We have no post player, so they're talking about reclassifying – Huntley Hatfield, who is the number six player in the 2022 class.
Number six player in the class, number one power forward from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I do say, like, I'd be – I don't know if that's going to solve your problems.
He is kind of – he's like 6'9", 230. Is that
that's
what
he's listed at. But, like, I don't – like, I would worry about a big man being a freshman regardless, but, like, a year early, I don't know if that necessarily solves your, quote-unquote, post problems. When I think of 6'9", 230, I don't think of back to the basket. I think of I'm going to blow by you and try to, like, play a five-out style.
Yeah.
Which, the whole idea that Barnes is crying about a post player just screams how behind the times he, you know, he really is.
Yep.
You don't need a post player. You need good players. Just get good players. Get guys who can actually play.
Also, you're supposed to work with what you got, the talent you got. I mean,
you can't cry about not having post players in year six, Draven, because, like, this is your roster. Like, you can't blame Konzo for not having a post player there for you. Like, I get it in the first couple years, but right now, like, yeah, work with what you got. You put this roster together.
That's true, too, yeah.
And I get they maybe thought that Alexander was going to play. Or Walker, excuse me. Corey Walker.
I get what's the deal there?
They just say he's not very good. And, like, he had a foot injury. Like, he's just... He wasn't going to fix
his injury being over for a long time.
Well, I know what I'm saying. They said that set him back, and, like, he'd have to. I don't know. He must not be able to, like, walk and dribble at the same time. Like, if they're not giving him a chance right now, with the way
that's what I'm saying.
With the slot they're putting out there, especially, like, in a year where the eligibility doesn't matter. If he's healthy, like, it's not like you're going to blow his red shirt.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm just worried that, like, that we've seen the bell curve. The top of the bell curve was, you know, probably beating Kentucky. And since that moment, it's gone downhill, right? I mean, that's that was the top, beating Kentucky in the SEC tournament, the semifinals, and it's been downhill ever since. And, you know, we were supposed to wait on this year. Year's over. Barring any miraculous tournament run, it's going to be another failure of a year. Year six, you're going to have three, maybe four tournament wins to show for it if you get one this year.
But, like, looking towards the roster next year.
And the roster next year, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, Kenny Chandler coming in, who's going to be a stud. Beast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If Barnes will let him do his thing. Look, I do worry about him being a point guard in Barnes' system, but go ahead.
And then you have Jemai Meshack from California. He's a wing, though. I mean, he's not going to help your post problems at all.
No.
So that's why they're looking at the Huntley Hatfield guy, and they're also looking at Anjay Tamba from Catholic, which I know Bear and Philly would love. But, so, I mean, he's 7 foot. I mean, he's a good player. He's a three-star, though.
How do we know he's any good then?
He's good in high school. That's not necessarily saying.
Is he good? Like, is he, like, actually good in high school, or is he just, like? He's 7 foot compared to, like.
Sounds like you're describing Pember.
That's a good point too. Well, Pember didn't play in the post in high school. Who shot threes?
Well, he did.
Even in high school, that's all he did. He didn't ever go down the post. I mean,
he did some too, but he liked shooting outside for sure. But
and with the Catholic kid, I've never watched him play, so I'm just.
I've seen him play. He's good.
If you tell me he's a three star, I'll say okay. But, like, also, like, I remember, like, being in high school, and if somebody's 7 foot, like, chances are there's not gonna be teams like having anybody to check him. Mm-hmm. So, like, go near the basket, and you should get every rebound and, like, every bucket you want. Like, again, I'm not bashing the kid. I've never seen him play. He might be talented. He might be skilled. I don't know, but I also know being 7 foot, you know. No one around here is going to be really able to match that.
Makes life easier.
I watched him play IMG last year, and IMG had 4 7-footers on their team.
He was
good
there.
One of the guy who plays for Purdue now.
And he was good?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Okay.
And B.J. Edwards actually whipped Jaden Springer's ass that game. I think he had 30-something points.
Okay.
So B.J. Edwards is really good.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I'm just worried because, you know, it seems like we missed our window, and I think we're going to be finding ourselves – again, barring some miraculous tournament run, just kind of saying, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm.
Where does this program go for here? Because I don't think the team's going to be better next year. And unless Rick Barnes commits to a complete overhaul of his offensive philosophy, it's just going to continue to struggle. Yep. And, you know, if you have had as much success as Rick Barnes has had in his career, and if you are 66 years old, I don't know how willing you will be to change at this point in your life.
Yeah, he's not changing anything. Stuck in his ways.
Was hoping Fulkerson would be the next Grant. Oh. And didn't work out too well. Yeah, I was about to say, we got some big news.
Breaking news. 10 woo, minutes ago. Woo, woo, woo. Where are you guys at? Where's the breaking news horn at?
Woo, 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 woo.
10 minutes ago, J.J. Watt says he's signing with the Arizona Cardinals.
What?
Chase that bag. They had to give him the bag.
That's out of left field, though, a little bit after, you know, where everybody was throwing the smoke up at. But
they did give him the bag.
Oh, what was it?
$31 million guaranteed, or $23 guaranteed.
How many years?
$31 million.
How many years is his contract?
2 years.
2 years contract.
He chased the bag.
Contender.
Go play with his boy D-Hop, man. Reunited.
Yeah, Hopkins probably was in his ear.
Reunited.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run.